Blog Talk Radio.
We are 241 years past the signing of the Declaration of Independence. As a country, we have endured civil and global wars, economic and social crises, and questions of faith, governance, and the rule of law.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
That's right. It's 347-3942. Welcome to the American Allegiance Show. Again, 347-637-3942. If you want to call in and talk to our guest, Mr. Jerry Lowe, tonight, we appreciate having him on. Everybody, I think the popular place to be right now is Martha's Vineyard. That's what I hear. And it's happening. A thousand people are going to arrive there sometime this week, where they have already. So a lot of great things, not so great things in the news. COVID is over officially, and now we have monkeypox, I guess, but unfortunately, or fortunately, it only affects a small percent of the population. Maybe I guess we'll talk a little bit about that later on, but just want to welcome everybody back. Last week was a rerun. I had a death in the family. We had to go to West Virginia and didn't really feel like doing anything at the time, so I played a rerun, and it was beautiful. All my reruns are good. All my previous shows are on point. So right now, we're going to join our guest, Mr. Gerald A. Lowe, author, veteran. He's an experienced author. He's got more books than I do, a lot more books. And he's a guy I actually got a lot of my early advice from him, and I appreciate that. So welcome to the program, Mr. Lowe.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. It was tough. So, but you know, that's how life is, and that's what we have to deal with. That's where everybody goes eventually. So, so I want to know about our audience. Tell us about your books first, and then you can talk about your life.
Okay, I have. Especially social media and some of the crazy things, which didn't exist when you and I were kids.
Right.
I mean, we were lucky if we had TV that had three channels that were close.
Exactly.
And, yeah, pretty much. And I've been banned on Facebook 27 times.
You have badges, right?
Hardcore veteran. They've got a seller by name on it. You know, I don't care. I also have four books of novels and one book of short stories. Is awesome.
So those are accomplishments, and when you get banned that many times, I'm sure you have a closet full of badges. Here's a little clip for that.
Badges? We ain't got no badges.
I mean, it's kind of crazy, but I mean, they even get you for something you wrote like 5 years.
Really?
Oh yeah, it would kind of like be a trend. It would kind of like be if you're driving along. Well, I'm not going to give you a ticket for what you did today, but I'll give it to you what you did 5 years ago. No judge in the world believes this thing. But hey, you know, with the magic land of Facebook, they can do whatever they want up to a point.
I like how you put that magic land. And that's what it's, that has been. Yeah.
We can't stay it here.
Right.
The first time it happened,
really?
Now they just say, oh, now we're just going to cut your feet. But at least, you know, it's better than burning.
Well,
not by much.
Not by much. Yeah, tell us about your career, early life, what you did in high school, college, and what you do now, your military career. We want to know about. I don't know these things, so I'm asking for myself.
Okay.
Too.
Well, first, thanks, Kevin. First of all, I was a Navy brat. My dad was in the Navy. He was a real A-4 pilot. And still alive. He's 87 years old. He's still kicking. And he told me he just wanted to join just to get out of Baytown, Pennsylvania. And he did. And he actually joined the Navy as a musician, as a violinist.
Wow.
In fact, he didn't even have an A school, like what we would call AIT. He did that for about a year, and he got so bored, he drove his commander crazy to actually get him to flight school. His commander said, sure, leave your stuff behind, you'll be back. Came back 18 months later, wearing the gold rings.
Awesome, awesome. That's a big deal.
20 years old. Anyway, so he stayed in the Navy until 1977, and he got out in 1967. Became an airline pilot for Eastern Airlines.
Nice.
So we moved a lot as a kid. I mean, when I got my security clearance the first time, I couldn't believe how many places I lived at.
Right.
I can't remember.
I tell you what, you and I are in the same boat. We're both military brats. And you know, people don't understand. I mean, it's a whole other world. You've seen so many different things, and you think everybody's in the military when you're a kid. Everybody's in. And that's a great accomplishment your dad had for being a fighter pilot. That's pretty awesome. That takes a lot of metal and everything else. So I can understand that.
Yeah, he said he did over 5 Saratoga and the Shangri-La.
Wow.
And mostly Mediterranean. He did a couple tours in the West, but mostly in the Mediterranean. And at 24 years, he said, I'm getting out. He was only 20 when he got commissioned.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got out. He flew around. So he went from flying little tiny jets to what I call silver buses in the sky.
Yes. Right. Yeah, I used to work in the airline industry. I remember Eastern, when they're still around, as at the end of their life back in, I think, 91 or 92. They still had limited flights and they just went under. So I know a lot of people that actually worked at Eastern.
What happened was Eastern brought out a bunch of routes from TWA to South America and they overextended themselves. Then they got this big old home from Chase Manhattan Bank and they started making money. Chase Manhattan called the money in. Eastern got sold off for pieces, just like Continental.
Right.
But my dad landed on speed. I mean, he was fine. He was sure to save his money and make sure he did things the right way. I mean, so basically I came along in 1958. And in 1977, age 19, I decided, after 1 year of college, to join the Army.
All right.
At least it wasn't a judge making me do it. It wasn't like back in those days.
Alternative.
And, so, you know, I passed all the tests at the local Army base. They said, here, sign here the dotted line. We're going to make you an ace stenographer. I said, What's that? Well, you know, you'll hang out with colonels and generals and be really nice people. The sergeant who talked to me said, you have absolutely no mechanical ability whatsoever. I said, no, I'm not really like that. He goes, I don't want you by my tanks. He's pointing to his 3rd Armored Division Patsy, right? I figured he'd probably do better than I did. Well, long story short, I went to basic training at Fort Knox, Kentucky in 1977. Went to AIT in Fort Benjamin Harrison, Indiana. And my AIT was 6.5 months long.
Wow.
Well, yeah, they put 2 years of business school in 6.5 months, 40 people, only 9 of us finished.
Whoa, yeah. So you had wash off like we did in my electro-environmental school. Yeah, I didn't know how I got through it.
Well, I was getting 4 hours of homework at night, and my parents were partying the night away. I was working.
Yeah, I see that. That's a huge turnover. Get through. So your goal is to make it out. So, yeah.
So the next thing I know, they're sending me to Germany. Which was pretty good for me because I spoke fluent German already. I took it in high school.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
That was good. I mean, my first commander was a full colonel who had 30 years in, and he had been to Vietnam 3 times.
Wow.
You tend to listen to people who have many bad results. So
right.
Vietnam.
Right. Yeah.
And he was the best mentor you could ever ask for. I was just a lowly E3, probably E4. Well, finally went to 5th Corps headquarters in Frankfort. That was interesting. And I got out in 1980, and in 1983 I came back in after I got commissioned, and got sent right back to Germany again.
So you were a lieutenant then at that point.
The weird thing is, I arrived in Germany on April 15, 1978, and I arrived again on April 15.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. So, I did 3 years in that personnel, got out, newspapers, especially the Frankfurt Chronicle, which was a military newspaper at the time. And then fast forward to 1990, Persian Gulf War, my unit got called up. And we went down there.
Wow.
And
yeah.
One thing I tell folks is, you know, the war was actually over 100 hours, but we spent 5.5 months getting out of there.
Right, yeah.
But what these young men and women have gone through since 2001 is insane. I mean, how can you be deployed 4 or 5 times to come back to people?
You can't. You really can't do that.
Yeah,
I know they tax the Army pretty heavy. The same people, the same units keep going back and forth, rotating. Yeah, it's not good for your health when you're there, when you get home. And it messes you up, and you go back again, you got to come back home again. I totally get it. It's an issue.
Well, we were reserving out Germany. We just moved from Frankfurt to Crete, then down to Saudi Arabia, then back. But we had one hell of a party when we came back.
I bet. So
did you try to be in the Navy?
I was in the Air National Guard. Air Force Division. Nobody knows what that is, so, you know, I always say Air Force. So,
hey, we need our ninjas of the sky.
I was with an F-6. I did A-7s and F-16, so I did work on a Navy aircraft for 6 years. So, it's great. Awesome. So,
I can't even imagine.
You have to be smarter or wiser than the aircraft for that to work, seriously. It's not easy. Not anything is straightforward like a car. You have to have a knack for it. You have to develop a knack. It's not the smartest people. It's the people who can outthink what the planes are doing or what they're doing. You have parts that make their own decisions, and you have to be ahead of that. So a lot of experience helps as well.
It's just how many parts in an airplane is amazing.
Right. Yeah, you know, and all airplanes are really the same. There's no difference between a fighter jet and an airline, just what's on it. Same systems, same companies, same monopolies on the insides, you know. So yeah, I know a lot. I could tell you more, but this isn't about me. This is about you, sir. We can do that offline.
So I used to live in Albuquerque.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And on October 1st of last year, we cut ties to Mexico and moved up here to Durango, Colorado.
Okay. You're beautiful, I bet.
Well, you're 6,512 feet up in the Rockies.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's a smaller town. Folks are actually, you know, pretty pleasant here. And people actually drive by, until they get on these country roads, they drive like they're insane. But that's my personal thing.
Right. Yeah.
But we have to deal with snow. And last winter we didn't get much, but the summer's up here, of course, is 75, 80 degrees. But it gets to be 85 degrees, people here complain how hot it is. I'm not kidding.
Wow. Yeah, coming from New Mexico. I can see that.
Well, New Mexico is pretty hot, but nothing's as bad as Phoenix or Tucson.
Right. Yeah, I used to go to Tucson all the time. We deploy there for desert training a lot, so... I understand. I did not like the summer there. Oh, the spring.
Yeah,
it is. It is.
Anyway, that's my story. I've now played 9 books in 7 years. And as I tell people, it's my only super talent.
Yeah, and your books, you pack those books as well. With a lot of things, and you have a lot of ideas coming out of your head, so it's kind of fluid for you. For most people, maybe not. My book was different because it was in my head, but a lot of things you have are fresh from way back when. Yours, you just put the stuff together, and it comes out really nice. So, could you describe your books, your political books. Let's start with that.
Yeah, the series is called Politically Derelict. Essentially, we're all political derelicts in a sense because,
yeah.
I don't vote to my people in, and it turns out they aren't to my people. They pay themselves to me. And basically, every 2, 4, 6 years, depending on the job, the politician comes to us with their heads in their hands and say, hey, vote for me, I'll do this, this, and this.
Right.
And you go, okay. And then a couple years later, you're like, wow, I really voted for the wrong person, or this is what they told me.
Right.
Because politics is basically a dirty business. And it is a business.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a, I like the mafia is a business too.
Oh, yeah. Dad actually knew a man named Jim Florio back in New Jersey in the 1970s. And Mr. Florio was a two-term congressman in New Jersey. He was a good guy. And so he goes back to New Jersey and runs for governor, and he wins.
Wow.
And he told my dad the second day he was in office, he was visited by some people who said, well, that's nice, you're governor, but here's what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, I don't want to do that.
Right.
He said, well, we'll kind of all your money and you'll never get reelected.
Yeah, I believe that.
That's real politics. I mean, the House of Cards is a really great show. Still, of course, Kevin Spacey is about to get kicked off because of the crazy stuff he did on camera. But, I mean, yeah, politics is a lot like that.
Mm.
Even at a local level.
Yeah, just like the school boards you see on TV and the parents are there. And they have, they're like, you know, they run things. I don't know if somebody talks to them. They, like you were saying, they probably are influenced by other outside forces. We don't know. So you don't. These people don't have their own lives, their own minds, don't make their own decisions. If they do, they're outcasts. And yeah, just like Tulsi Gabbard, she got tossed out of that run for telling the truth.
Well, all I know is you and I went to school because we're probably pretty much close to the same age. Nobody talked politics.
Right. Right. We don't use cursive now. They don't teach that, which I think.
Oh, no. We're into social warrior studies. About 3 months ago, I'm driving down Main Street in Durango. You understand, Durango's only got about 60,000. There's the local high school. They've got the kids out there. In the afternoon, and they're yelling about how all white people are racist. And my kids are doing this. And I'm like,
no way.
I never took LSD. Maybe I should. And I'm, you know, thinking, wow, I mean, education's really been hijacked.
Yes. Right. So
the power is the school board, and if you kick them off the school board, they do get.
Right, and it's a tough battle. I've had some school board candidates on my program, and it's a really tough battle to fight against the evil that's going on in the schools. So once you're an insider, then you can break it up. But you know, they even kicked one of our school board members, the president, out of his position in our local school board. That's how powerful they were. So, yeah, so they have a lot of power at that level because they're controlling the kids, and a lot of pornography. In their textbooks, they're teaching crazy stuff. They're teaching racism is normal, and it's, everybody's geared to be racist, only if they're not black or not Hispanic. So, you know, they're just going overboard with, the kids don't even know this. The kids, you know, it's not the same world it was back in the
70s. Oh, no. That's not even by a long shot. That's 50 years ago, believe it or not.
Yeah.
More or less. But, I was lucky in New Jersey. I didn't believe in teachers. And then my senior year, we transferred to California. My dad packed up and moved his name to California. Here I'm in the middle of my senior year of high school. Yeah, I wasn't too happy about it first. When I got to California, I forgot all about New Jersey because the weather's much nicer out
there. Right.
And I thought, well, you know, that sounds pretty good. But when I got there, my high school didn't even have an English class. That was too advanced. So I took English classes at junior college.
Really?
And that's where I got interested in journalism. Writing.
Perfect.
So, here I am, 9 books in, and I've got at least 4 or 5 left in me, I think. It's taken basically from things that's happened in the last 2 years of the pandemic. All the craziness you saw.
Yeah, tell me about it. Could you touch on a little bit of those for us?
Well, okay. The first one was called Simply Derelict. That came out in 2016, right before the general election. I wasn't claiming to say it was going to win. I was just showing the first book was dedicated to the Fletcher generation.
Right.
The whole generation. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and the next one came out in 2018. That was Simply Derelict, Volume 2. And the best part of that book is a little chapter that Hillary Clinton actually goes to prison. And if she wrote a diary, what would it look like?
Yeah.
Of course, she never takes responsibility for anything. So, you know. People were like that chapter. It had other parts to it. And in 2020, I had the Politically Derelict Bathroom Buddy, which was on the cover with the tissue paper, toilet paper.
Yes, right.
And I had to pay $177 to get images just to get prices put in. That's fine. Because I sent them a copy, and they actually sent the copy back. The actual Getty folks, they seem to like it, so that's nice.
Awesome. That's
and
big deal.
This one, of course, is called the Politically Derelict Guideline to the 21st Century. It's kind of like playing a game of Twister, Kevin.
Right.
You don't know where your feet are going to land anymore.
Right.
In the 21st century, you knew where you stood. Now, everything is so weirdly different.
Yeah. So, I got to talk to my producer real quick. I know we have that book. We have both books here. So I'd like to show that real quick. Do you know where they are?
Yeah.
Oh, you can? Okay. Yeah, if you could do that, that'd be great.
Yeah.
You go ahead.
Did you
just I might have taken it downstairs. Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it. He's going to get it. No, he's going to grab it. We're good. No, this is my guide for planning broadcast. This is my broadcast planner here. I can't live without it, so. But go ahead. I love it.
Well, yeah, I can get a certain position where you go do that, I guess. There, you laugh. Usually people don't go to the bathroom and start laughing.
This is so hilarious. I can't see any covers.
Well, yeah, I know. I didn't have to pay the copyright because I guess you
yes.
And I don't have a copy of PD3, but I've got some other books here. In addition to my little books, I actually write little novels and short stories.
Okay.
And this week here.
Yes.
These little book.
I remember that one.
It actually happened in 1972.
Really?
Yeah, basically more votes came in than people actually
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, doesn't it though? I mean, how can you have a county have more votes than people in that county? That makes sense.
It's necessary for change, right?
Well, yeah, but maybe not the best one.
Exactly.
So, by the way, I also served as election official in 3 different elections. This, you cannot turn the tide or do anything at the point. But even I couldn't go back to make out votes.
Wow.
And that's what I think is kind of strange. Anyway, my very first book was a book called Wahoo Dan. And that is a mystery set in 1926 West Texas. And somebody dared me to write a book with no curse words in it. Hey, I actually did it. And the book sold quite well. And no one's ever guessed who did it until I wrote the final chapter because I didn't know who did it. Until I wrote the
That's how good it was, right?
Yeah, that's how Agatha Christie used to write.
Really?
Oh, yeah, that little lady thing with so many. But her books are usually about 70, 80 pages.
Oh, really? That's all?
Yeah, she wrote basically what we would call novellas.
Right, that's novella level.
So,
oh.
I have a book here, Orange Sun. These are short stories of Mexico, so many years. Different parts, things I saw in Mexico, specifically Albuquerque is a really good city, but it has been absolutely devastated by fire.
Really? I wouldn't think that.
Oh, yeah. Stolen cars happen every day. They're like nothing.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea.
Murder rate continues to go up, despite the fact that cops can't. Because they get caught, and they get bailed, and they go right back out and do it again. No kidding.
Whoa.
Yeah, well, you know, we call it catch and release. That's pretty much what it is. I wish we were talking about
patients. Right. So this is interesting because, you know, I always thought Albuquerque is a rugged town and, you know, an older type kind of place, but it's probably a big city now. I guess I'm delusional at this point because I've never been there, but I've been into Mexico a few times, been to Roswell and other places. But, yeah.
Yeah, Albuquerque is 415 square miles.
Hmm. Wow, you know that. Wow. Incredible. So what else? Really? Yeah. All these big cities are turning like that. I don't know what it is. I'd like for you to, what are your thoughts? What do you think this is all about? Is it education? Is it lack of jobs? What do you think it is?
Well, it can't be lack of jobs now because places are hiring like crazy. They can't get people to fill in anytime. And that's one problem.
Right.
Two, drugs.
Yes.
Heroin. And even the drug I call liquid psychosis or bottled alcohol. I mean, you know, some people overdo it. But a lot of people are just plain lazy. Because if you give people free stuff, they're going to go for it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, that's a problem. And they're not going to have any kind of leg to stand on their own. And, you know, the stimulus checks and everything, and we're going to pay off your college student loans with everybody else's money. Does it go with that?
Somebody else's money. You don't think the college people
actually. Well, they go in, maybe have $10,000 in their bank account, and they come out with a million. So, I don't know. I doubt it.
There was a guy named Jeff Binghamton. He was a longtime senator. The guy, he did like six terms, I believe.
Wow.
And when he came in, he had a net worth of $120,000. Okay. When he came out, he had $375 million in assets.
Wow.
Why? Because he spent on the Senate Energy Committee.
Yes.
And everything was oil. Yet if you and I do that, we'd go to prison.
Right. They're exempt from the laws of the common people. You know, they can do whatever, insider training and all that stuff. They have their own rules they have to follow. But everybody's encouraged. I guarantee every one of those people are making money the first month they're there. You can see that in the Ocasio-Cortez. She started wearing, like, super expensive watches and clothes and everything. So it happens right away.
A lot of people don't like her. I think she's great. I put her in all my books.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's not very smart, but hey, she looks nice.
Right.
But she's as dumb as a bag of, you know, hammers.
Okay.
So I don't think we can get her. I say, hey, keep talking. She just...
So you're going to, that's your farm of ideas, probably. One of the little sources you get.
That's one of them, but you know, this is not what Washington and the crew back in the 1800s, 1700s
right.
thought of. You know, it was basically you show up, you do your duty, go back being a citizen.
Right.
And term limits. Well, here's the problem, Kevin. The same people that, you know, if we had a constitutional convention, Congress has to ratify. Do you really believe they kept their own power?
Never.
No, of course not. Never.
But... No, that would be the answer, if it could ever happen.
No, every time the Constitutional Commission of State comes up, all the liberal press goes the same.
Right.
And mm-hmm. I guess there's an old saying, beware of the government you have when you replace it.
That's true.
That's true.
But your books, I got to go with you. When you wrote your first book and I read it, at first I didn't know what to think, and I got halfway through. I thought, this is hilarious. The guys bring up great, great ideas. And I never thought of things like this. Because I know some folks who are black, and their struggle is they think all white people think that they're all the same. This is not true at all. And
right.
The other thing is, veterans that I knew in the military, I would trust them with my life. Because you have to.
Right. I did. Yeah.
I talk a little silly stuff, maybe two things different. But even back in the 70s, you say brother to each other, you're wearing green.
Right.
It's hard to explain to a civilian, but I don't think they get it.
I don't know. I don't think so either, because, you know, and when I got out, it was different. Work is different because you're not really a team. It's just a job. In the military, you were a team because you relied on other people to get, and it's a different kind of rely, you know. I think you're right, and this is hard to explain. It's a mission. Everything's a mission in the military, and in the civilian world, it's 9 to 5. I'm off work. We work so over hours so many times in the military, past the hours we were supposed to, just to get something done. Or go in early, things like that.
Yeah, it's like, hey, mission comes first. I mean, even police call is a mission. You think about it.
Yes, right.
Especially on airfields, you can't have that stuff sitting on anything.
Right.
I mean, that makes sense for that. But the Army really has this thing against secret, but I have no idea. Pick this up, pick that up. And the Navy guys, I mean, what they go to.
Right.
They're stuck.
Boy, do they have a good time or what? Yeah, that's why they're all followed up, you know, because, like, our deployments, even then, everybody stays in tents if you don't have a dorm or anything, but you're living with them, you're sleeping with them, you're going to work with the same people all the time. And after a while, it's like, I got to get a break from these people. But, you know, that's what you do. People don't... You're gone at Christmas time, holidays, birthdays. It doesn't matter. You're halfway around the world, and coming back home is the hardest part, really, for a lot of people.
Yeah. You know, the Navy folks, they go out for a couple of months. The Navy person will tell you, you're going to get a certain point that you're already introverted someplace else.
Right.
You
can't feel out. Yes. Right. Right. Yeah. We almost went to the Gulf War, but we had A-7s and the wings are cracked. It was the only thing that kept us from going. We were ready to go. But that ended up, that phase of the aircraft, and we had to get a replacement. So we got tankers. And so I left because I like fighters better. I went up to another unit because I didn't want to be in a tanker unit. That's just my preference. So like in the Army, you guys, I admire the Army guys a lot because I don't know if you know this or not, the Army and the Air Force are the same. People don't realize they came from each other, and like in the Army Guard and the Air Guard, they switch commanders every series in it because they have the same uniforms. But the Army guys are a lot more serious because they have to be. And I hear what you guys went through, your Army people, you know, your friends getting blown away and everything, where we don't see that. We're in the next country over. So my hat's off to all the Army guys. And I know a lot of veterans that are wounded or that are hurting. They're very serious. People don't realize. And I've seen some of the things they've done, what they've gone through, and the things that the Air Force guys don't get exposed to. But we do get, we might see some bombs lobbed onto the base we're at or something, but we don't have the same, we don't go into town. We don't go places where nobody else wants to go, and that's just a lot. Just like I met one of the guys that was in Black Hawk Down, Mogadishu, went to some kind of hero event. He was there, got his autograph and everything. This guy did stuff I can't even imagine doing in the middle. I mean, they were being attacked. People were being slaughtered left and right when the helicopter went down, but that's the Army for you. You got Marines. They do the same thing. it's incredible. I really appreciate people who have served and experienced life in a different way, things you'll never be able to do.
Thank you. On behalf of all Army veterans, I thank you. But if I actually saw an A-10 pilot, that I saw his aircraft, I could not believe how many bullet holes this thing had in it. 50 caliber rounds, everything. I said, so it's really true you've got that titanium tub?
Yeah.
He goes, oh, yeah. If you open fire on that big chain, that the whole plane physically shakes. I said, so how many sorties did you fly? I said, 25.
Mm-hmm.
I said, came back, he goes, oh yeah, my crew chief was really upset because he says I messed up a perfectly good airplane.
Yeah. Those things can fly with, I heard from the mechanics with the wing missing. Those things are built like a tank. Those things are awesome.
Yeah.
So I worked on one once. I had to change the battery one. But yeah, those things are amazing. Survivable.
Yeah.
The Army loves them.
Every infantryman sees A-10 coming, they're like, rah, here comes the
Right.
They can put a world of hurt on somebody.
But just to clarify for everybody out there, every plane goes burp, burp. Every gun does that on every aircraft. It's not on the A-10 alone. You know, I know you've seen that before. You've heard that from other aircraft. Yeah, the A-7 had, it was an attack aircraft, and it had titanium plating, too. It was, the cockpit was totally, you know, sealed and protected. Pilots, important.
Oh, yeah. Or I was in, basically, it was over 100 hours.
Yeah. You're right. Afghanistan for one. Yeah.
The thing that happened with Afghanistan last year when Biden pulled out unilaterally,
yeah,
the biggest moves I've ever seen. Why would you leave the enemy $35 million of stuff?
Yes, right. I totally agree. You and I could have a better plan because I would have left an enclave there of an airbase or something. If you left that there, then they wouldn't come and attack. The Taliban would never come to the capital city or anywhere. We keep them at bay, but they all left, you know. It was like, it was already set up by the last president. And then it's just totally, he fumbled the whole thing. And he acted too late past the deadline, and that was a problem. So May 1st passed, and they were still trying to figure this out.
Yeah, it's not the 21st century.
Yes. So let me ask you some questions then, because how do you feel about possible war with Russia? There, people are squealing that right now, or getting involved in Ukraine, when, since you're a former military, and what do you think, based on Afghanistan, what, I am very afraid.
Well, I'll put it this way, Kevin. Go right through Ukraine like he did the Crimea. And he got stopped. The army has to stop so that it's built and has rebuilt. They have to.
Right.
And just lost so much in the first 12 days of the war. They were stunned. They thought they would just walk right in and be declared liberators and everything else. And they stopped Ukraine and said, no, you don't. Ukraine has been historically part of Russia. I mean,
yes.
There's no doubt about it.
Yes.
But the fact is, I think Putin's been up more than he thought he could chew. And here it is 6 months, almost 7 months later, and he still has his money.
Right.
Wars are very expensive, everything you can think of. But now we know these conscripts, they're literally turning tail. And not.
That's the problem with conscripts, yeah.
All those wonderful years that Putin had building up his army. Paper Tiger is still formidable, but he should have rolled, they should have rolled right through Ukraine completely. They had, yes, we have supply weapons. NATO did what they had to do. We actually have more troops in Poland than we do anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and Poland, that's right on the border of Russia.
Yep. Yeah.
Don't do anything in Poland because he'd be annihilated. Big problem is China. It's a wild card.
Right.
Because they've been battling their sabers basically since the early 60s. Then 1972, when Nixon came over there, and when, you know, I bet they were just smiling and grinning, like, wow, we get to the American markets now.
Yeah, absolutely. And China's playing the long game. And they play by centuries. We play by, or actually dynasties. We play by 20 years here and there. So they're very patient. They'll get Taiwan back eventually, especially right now with the leadership we have. Because I remember there used to be the Seventh Fleet down there in the Philippines. I don't know where it is now, but everything was strategic, and now you know, we're cutting everything back, cutting things down. We're eliminating units. We're making our military smaller on purpose for some reason.
Well, yeah, we pulled out Subic Bay in 1987.
Yeah. I used to live over that country.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Never been there.
Beautiful.
But you are right. Our military is rather expensive, high-tech. The Russians believe in overwhelming force.
Right.
But they never came across the full gap in the 60s and 70s and 80s, they could have. Germany had actually made, I was there. They never did it, and that was good. And then, you know, the Soviet Union collapsed. And for the first time, they had to experience real capitalism. And that was a lot of growing pains for Russia. A lot.
Right.
Because how do you keep their history? The dictators, the czar, subject to open elections? It seems somewhat fair, whatever. And now they've got a guy in Putin who's been there almost over 20 years now.
Right.
And like anybody who's been in the power that long, get kind of, shall we say, insulated as to what reality is.
I agree. Yeah, you can't, that's a job you can't handle at the top that long to be effective.
Yeah, well, if there's a war with Russia, I don't think so. I mean, they would be crazy to do it because if they ever want, like he's been talking about using the nuclear option, that would be very good because France and England alone would level everything on that side of the river.
Right.
And that's, and never mind, we have, but no one wants a bunch of nukes to go off because that, if you get more than 20, 30 nukes to go off, we got a problem around the world.
Absolutely.
So, I think you're familiar with the term, Mad Mutually Assured Destruction.
Yes. Great movie, by the way. This case.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the fact is, go ahead, any country that wants to invest in nuclear bombs and that type of stuff, it's really super expensive. And then you have to maintain them.
Yes, that's the hard part.
Yeah.
You got to choose fission or fusion, whatever method you want that weapon or warhead to fire, and then you got to store them, then you got to make, like you said, you got to maintain those things. Yes.
Well, yeah, like the East Mountains now destroyed by Kirkwood Air Force Base, they have 2,000 nukes destroyed, but the problem is condensation. It really screws these things. I know I talked to the Air Force guy, he said, look, you know, I really couldn't tell you this, but I can tell you. We got a bunch of them up there, and we pull out about 30 of them, and we look at them, and we have to start taking them. Oh, the actual bomb was good, but not the missile.
Right, yeah.
You know, hey, at least it's a lot better in the old days when people wondering, like 1962, the Cuban Missile Crisis, we came pretty damn close.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it would have prevailed. Yeah, but I think it would be in Washington.
I agree. I can't really see him doing that. I really can't. I know he's ruffling his feathers, and he's actually got the upper hand on a lot of this stuff. I'm not sure what his real mission is there. I've heard rumors. I'm not really saying anything, but strategically, I don't think there's a fight there. The thing about what they have over there now versus what they have in their country, their military, their capabilities, they probably don't even have the best aircraft over there for fighting this. I think they got MiG-35s, SU-35s, that's what it is. I know the Ukrainians, their planes are useless against that aircraft anyway. I don't see that really happen. I think there's something else going on. I don't know, because, you know, they're going to do some referendums, next week? about the regions. I think that's what this is all about, the regions of that used to belong to the Federation. Do they want to get back into the Federation? They're going to vote on that. So, but the problem is, I know a lot of the people I've heard, have they want to get back into the Russian Federation. They want to be part of it, just like Ukraine was. But the people, they're saying that this is going to be unfair elections. And this, here we go again. I mean, this is what they're running. You know, if you want to be part of it and they vote, then so be it, because they still, like people in the Donbass and Donetsk, they still want to be Russian because things have changed over the years and they still want to be back and part of that. They really, and they speak Russian and everything. So there's, this is a little more complicated than people think. There's so many more wheels turning there. I think a lot of people don't understand, but if they want to do that and they're good for it and they vote for it, then that's their business. But we're all actually promising to take action if that happens. And it's not Russians doing it. This is the people that are there, and they have already said that sentiment when the war started. We want to be back with Russia because Ukraine is the most corrupt country in the world by far. So this is –
I think you're spot on. No one ever thought tiny Ukraine, which is tiny. Ukraine's pretty big.
Yeah.
It holds off the Russian bear for so long. It should have been said 2 months ago.
Yeah. I still don't think this is, I don't know. I don't know. The Russians, what they do, their capabilities, they could take that out in a weekend. But they're not. Ukraine is so small. They have lesser equipment. That's just my opinion. I did this on a show before, but I don't think it'll work out for them if Russia bears down.
Never underestimate the Russians' ability.
You go to that border, you look over that fence, and all those thousands of miles belongs to Russia. How many planes do they have over there? There's no way Ukraine can.
Yeah. The fact is, look at the mistake that Napoleon Hitler made.
Yes, right. Yes.
Fact is, most people, unless it actually affects them some type of war, as you both know, they forget to see it. People forgot we had a war in Afghanistan, believe it or not.
Right.
How do you forget that? People that go don't forget, that's for sure.
VA's full. So let me ask you another question. I want your intake, since you do political stuff. I want you, let's talk about Martha Stewart. What's your thought? Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, Martha's Vineyard. Oh,
yeah.
Talk about hypocrisy at its best. I mean, think about this. They walk the walk, but it's time to talk the talk. All the news reports said, oh, they're welcome, come on in, and the very next day they're being sent to Cape Cod.
Right.
Because it's like, well, not to talk about the greatest case of NIMBY you've ever seen, not my backyard.
Exactly.
Nobody else seemed to get that type of, consideration when folks are being dumped in their place.
Right, you got to think, where did they come from? They came from places where those communities have millions of people from across the border, legally, that came in. And nobody cares. You don't see that happening down there. You know, they just try to deal with it. But Cape Cod, that's where all these. And then the president is mobilized on that. What are your thoughts of that? Why are they taking action against DeSantis when he's not the one who brought them in here? They dropped it off in his state, so he took action. He has the right to do that.
Well, like anything else, certain parties love to go run and do judge shopping and find the right judge to make some type of decision. I don't know. I think even federal judges say, well, if you can do it to him, he can do it to you too. It really doesn't matter.
Right.
But the crazy news stations, I call them the acid head stations, MSNBC.
Yes, right.
Oh, they're acting like this is the greatest crime against humanity you've ever seen.
Yes, it's hilarious.
Yeah, and for you and I, we sit back and go, well, what's your problem? You've been dumping this on people for the last 2 years, and they have to deal with it. Oh, but you put it in a rich area like that. Billy Joel has a house there, for Pete's sake.
Wow.
A lot of other, and Billy Joel was one of the shyest people you ever want to meet outside the States. He says really disturbing.
Wow. So
a lot of other people. Mostly people live up there just to be quiet and get away from the hustle and bustle of the world. And all of all of a sudden the world's about to open the door and they don't like it.
Yeah, I hear there's a lot more flights that are going to be going there. So the problem with the Otis Air Force Base, I used to work with those guys at F-15, that's a guard base, okay? They don't have any facilities to keep anybody. And then you're talking about a lot of, you know, security clearance issues and, secret things, top secret things on that base that they don't need to be on there. They need to deal with this in the public. They need to build something or put them away somewhere else or let them live there. Enrich the culture. I mean, that's what everybody wants to do, and I don't have a problem with that. And because it would be up, because they're actually the Venezuelans. They were a wealthy country at one time. And these are the people. These are the leftovers from it. And you know, I think they deserve to be treated like people, like citizens. Because this is the policy they set, and this is what they pay for it with. This is what they created, and now it's come home to roost. I always like that people say, chickens are coming home to roost, and that's exactly what's going on.
I saw a picture, actually. I've never been to Martha's Vineyard. I've seen pictures of it. They had a pretty good aerial picture. It was a meme, I think, on social media. And it says, we don't have any room for these people. Look, some of these estates have 10 to 20 acres of property.
Yes, right.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bing, I've upset your petunia bed on the east side of the island. Really?
Yeah.
Some of the states of this country was happening. And you never hear a word about it. But boy, this made them just go crazy.
Yeah, so they're... Yeah. So what do you think? What do you think about them wanting DeSantis arrested?
Good luck with that. I mean, you're talking about the people trying to deconstruct twice. The president is already out of office. I mean, seriously.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, even Chief Justice Roberts, second time, I said, I'm not going to use this, it's illegal. They try it anyway.
Right. Yeah, no due process. The process they did for those impeachments was they're all against, they never could stand up in court anyway.
Of course not, because all they think is, orange man bad. But you look at it, you have $4 a gallon of gas.
Yeah, things are getting real right now, okay? Gas is going up. People can't eat meat some places. You know, some of my friends can't. They don't have ability to do what they used to do. It's hard. Times are hard right now.
That's right.
Things are just getting worse. Yeah.
It's even worse than the recession we had back in the 70s. I mean, I remember the first Arab oil bar, though. I was trying to get my license. And I was told, well, you got to wait until you get some gasoline. You got to go wait in line.
Really?
That
wow.
was the early 70s, but it happened again in 1979. Our wonderful friends, the Arab League, they basically cut us off of oil. So what did we do? We started getting more energy independent and purely more. And we actually got to a point about midway through Trump's term, we could actually export oil.
Right.
If that's the case, why in the hell are we paying some of the highest prices in the planet right now?
Somebody's principle, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, people think it's paying a lot more.
Yeah, right. Yes, they do. Yeah, I really don't know what's going on because, you know, we have all the oil. We have more oil than Saudi Arabia. Why are we going to get it? If you really care about the environment, you wouldn't get it from them either. Right? Is that true? It's not about that.
Well, it doesn't help if you're pressed at the first aid office. He cancels every single federal oil lease. I mean, who in the heck would do something so stupid? Joseph,
Robin, and Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness. I'm sure his son has something to do with this. He's got some deal with some other country, Russia, China. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
I don't think he knows what data
is. He doesn't.
All I know is, hey,
Kim,
this is great. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you coming on, and I wish you best of luck, and look forward to your last book, your next book you're going to do, and I appreciate you coming on, and we at the American Legion Show are happy to have you, and we hope to have you back on again sometime. When you get your next book done, or whatever you, we appreciate it. I like repeat, yes?
Thank you. The Kindle comes out 1 November, and the paperback comes out 1 December.
Okay. Maybe have it back on in January. We'll talk about that book.
Sounds great. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, sir. You have a great night, sir. And you have to tell your fiance I said thank you for being able to borrow you for this time. So appreciate it.
She's very flexible. She's so flexible.
Her middle name is
Stephanie.
So you're stretch Armstrong. Yes.
All right,
Kevin.
Thank you much, man.
We'll be in touch soon. All right. Take care. And that was Mr. Gerald Loeb, author of 9 books. It's going to be 10. That's amazing. I don't have that many. I only have one. And I'm looking at a second one, but, you know, things happen little by little. Yeah, anyway, I appreciate his insight and his service and contributing to the show, making the show better. Like, everybody makes the show better because everybody has different ideas and mindsets. It's kind of uplifting because I think the last 2 weeks we talked about things that are going on in California that's very depressing. We're glad the rest of the country is functioning a little better. Maybe not Chicago, maybe not New York, Illinois. Maybe not these other states, Pennsylvania, but people that are free and citizens have some kind of control over their government, we're doing pretty well at this point. But we still have to, you know, live under our national leaders. And, you know, if you can have a good congressman or senator, you're going to be okay. So many things are going the wrong way these days. But, you know, all we can do is hope and pray that things turn out right and things go well. So that ends this broadcast, and thank you for joining the American Illusion Show. I'm your host, Kevin White. Be back next week. Next Wednesday, we're going to do the double broadcast again. And remember, check my Facebook page. It's author Kevin White, and you'll see the links to all these broadcasts. I keep them on there, and they last forever. They're infinity bound for good, because we never get rid of any broadcasts on our network, Patriot Nation Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a good night. Thank you. End the broadcast. 4, 3, 2, 1. Good night, everyone.